Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
So wonderful to hear the voice on the other end. Now at Newsday, Kim Jones. Hello, Kim. Welcome back.
Well, hello, Steve. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
How's the new job going?
It's going well. I joined probably a month before the season ended, so I hit the ground running, which is, for me, the best way to do it. So, everything's great.
When you look at the NFL season, and you mentioned you were there the final month.
Yep.
So being around the Giants, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got a chance to see, obviously, the Eagles up close and personal on a couple of occasions. One was against a makeshift Giants team. What was your thought?
Yeah, the two occasions that everyone played were not pretty for the Giants, that's for sure. And as you noted, the Giants sat out with most of their starters and key players, including Saquon, towards the end of the season, at the end of the season. So we don't count that one. But the two that were competitive weren't all that competitive. So the playoff game in particular, I think, had to be disappointing for the Giants. But I think it showed what an organization like the Eagles has done, particularly in building its lines, the offensive and defensive line. They are absolutely dominant there. And while that isn't, the sexiest thing to talk about when you talk about football and scoring points and everything else, it certainly does everything that Jalen Hurts needs them to do. It certainly does every single thing that the secondary needs to do in terms of the Eagles' defense. They control the line of scrimmage much more often than not, Steve, and that was very apparent not only against the Giants, but against other teams as well, but particularly against the Giants, that was glaring because the Giants aren't exactly in that kind of position.
Right, and Brian Daboll's son, Christian, is one of the young men that signals in the plays here at Penn State.
So Dave and I have talked about his son multiple times, believe me, and he loves James Franklin, does Brian Daboll. He loves Penn State. He was there at one point. You probably know that part better than I in terms of a timing of it, but I know he was there. And he is ecstatic that his son had that experience at Penn State and under James. So I think I jumped you there, but I think that's really important to note that, Brian Daboll, had a whole lot to worry about this season, but family's very important to him, as it should be, as it is for most of us, I think. And he kept close watch on his son and was very impressed with everything he saw.
In fact, the Thanksgiving Day game was the Giants and the Cowboys. He was then Brian and his wife and the younger ones were here for Christian's game with Michigan State. So I got a chance to talk to him then when he was here. A terrific guy, but I mean, let's face it. I'll tell you directly what I told him. You don't have a depth of like what you consider big time NFL talent and you still are doing this.
Right.
So, Kim. It's a fact.
Yeah, I'll tell you what he did, Steve, and it's a long story that I'll make short for these purposes, of course. He had to resurrect the Giants from what Joe Judge had wrought. I have nothing personally against Joe Judge. He was always nice to me for whatever that's worth. And believe me, if you're nice to beat writers, it does usually matter, including, on NFL. In NFL situations, they give you a little more of a benefit of the doubt. You have them go up to your suite on the road in preseason. You order a bunch of Bud Lights, and the guys, the beat writers, and columnists end up feeling good around you. So they like Joe Judge, and I get that. I understand. I understand how all of this works. Joe Judge brought so much ruin to the New York Giants.
No doubt.
That Brian Daboll almost by default was going to be successful, but that's not why he was successful, Steve. He was successful because he acted like an adult in the room, because mm-hmm. He encouraged players on the practice field, if you make a mistake, we're not going to have you run laps. We are going to have you understand what the mistake is so you don't make it on game day. Those kinds of things to you and me probably seem pretty simplistic and pretty obvious. But in the NFL, you run into, some folks who think they're going to reinvent the game, and they're just not. And they're also not going to reinvent the way young men feel about themselves in terms of their work product, meaning NFL players, their work product, their pride, and the fact that they all want to win, Steve. Some of them, A, don't know how to, and some of them have coaches who don't know how to.
Right.
The Giants, regards, are now in great position.
Right, exactly. Because it's ironic you bring that up. That is going to be, I haven't done the pregame show with Micah Shrewsbury yet for tonight's game, mm-hmm. but the first question I literally was going to ask him is, how important will it be for your team to execute simple tonight?
Right.
Right. That's the first question I actually will be asking him. And it's funny that you brought that up, because I don't think everyone understands that as much as we try to complicate things, yep. you got to take care of simple first.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. And I'm sure we'll get to Saquon at some point. But
that's next.
the New York Giants also have a core. It's not the biggest core in the world, but a core of players who want to do right, who want to be part of completely fixing this situation. And I say that knowing, of course, they were a playoff team this year, but their playoff stay lasted one game, and then the second game, was against the Eagles, where they weren't not in the same class, as we've discussed. So, I think that for this team and for where this team is headed, they have a core group of leaders. And I think, as you noted, we're going to talk about one who we both like and respect very much next.
And his birthday is tomorrow, as a matter of fact. And that is Saquon Barkley. The contract is now up. So, and I know that he's not into a groundbreaking contract for a running back, but what do you think the circumstances are on his side, and what are the circumstances on the Giants' side?
I think the expectation within the building, the Giants' building, is that not only Saquon, but Daniel Jones, and I'll tell you why I'm bringing up Daniel with Saquon in a moment, that they will both be back in the building in those roles, because they are deemed very important to, hate to use the word because it's overused, but the culture of these Giants. And you know Saquon well, Steve, so you certainly understand why he's important in that regard, and why steam comes out my ears when I listen to sports talk radio in New York with people, including some who played the game, who criticize Saquon, and they have no earthly idea of how much he does for a room and for a team. And that stuff drives me nuts, and I can't fight it because I'd spend too much time fighting it and I'd lose my mind completely. But with Saquon, I do believe, first of all, Saquon has told me many times this season that he views himself and Daniel Jones as a package deal. Right. That's how much he respects the quarterback. So that's interesting to me. Daniel Jones is going to be back because the general manager told us that after the season ended. And one way or another, he'll be back if that's the case, because they can franchise him if somehow they can't come to a deal. Mm-hmm. Now, with Saquon, he was offered about $12.5 million a year, a contract with that number at the team's buy, and he and his camp turned it down. Mm-hmm. I believe Christian McCaffrey's in like the $18 million range. I don't think the Giants have that kind of a number for Saquon. I just don't think that they do. Could they, move the number a little bit so it's more than what he turned down, at the bye week? Yeah, they could do that, and I think that's where this thing will end up in terms of Saquon staying with the Giants and staying with the Giants at a number that makes everyone comfortable.
Well, you and I both know that the vast majority of stuff like this, where people talk and fill time, they don't spend any time around these people. I mean, really, they don't.
True.
They don't really know what he's like. They've never seen him practice before. They've never seen him pull a younger player aside to teach them what to do and what they don't do. I mean, right. I've never seen it. I mean, I saw Saquon do that with Miles Sanders, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Miles Sanders seems pretty good. I mean, that's, you and I both know that a lot of this is done from 30,000 feet. So that's why you try not to fight it too much.
Yeah, and in fairness, I do it with other players from that distance. You know, so in fairness, Saquon just happens to be a player that you and I both know well.
Right.
And, you know, because we know him well, we have that kind of respect for him.
Is it any coincidence that Josh Allen's numbers changed dramatically this year and Daniel Jones's numbers changed dramatically this year because of one move of one coach?
Yeah, well, I think with Josh it was more the elbow. I think that he was playing through the elbow injury for so long, because my guess from afar now, although I know Josh pretty well from my times in Buffalo, but candidly, I did not see him at all in person this season. You know, I think with Josh, he knows the responsibility he holds to that organization, and he was going to play as long as he possibly could play. And he played. I don't think that he was exactly at his best in those games down the stretch. And I think the injury probably did play into that. So, you know, with Josh, you know, that's kind of where I am. With Daniel Jones, I think he absolutely found a comfort zone with Brian Daboll. I think Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka, who's up for, you know, now up for head coaching jobs already. He was on the Kansas City staff. He was on Daboll's staff, and now he's being interviewed as a head coaching candidate. You know, I think that they had a comfort zone for Daniel of what would make him be most effective. And the thing that they've done, obviously, most importantly, and in my mind, probably second most impressively, is they've just cut down so much on the turnovers. The way he's impressed me the most, for whatever that means, and between you and me, it might mean something. No one else cares what I'm impressed with Daniel Jones, but I understand that. But is Daniel Jones somehow, some way, improved his pocket presence? And I had talked with a number of NFL coaches, executives, whatever, over the years about, can you improve your pocket presence? And enough of them told me no, that there, and I was already inclined that way, that I believed it. With Daniel Jones, somehow he has improved that this year, and that's because of the great quarterback coaching he got, and with the Daboll impact as well. So Daniel Jones has come many, many strides. Saquon came into this league with a burst, right? He was rookie of the year. He was wow. He was this. He was that. He's a better player now, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But he came in with a burst. Daniel came in with a question mark, and it wasn't until this year that he answered it.
Well, I'll give everybody an example. Bill O'Brien, I thought, did wonders with Matt McGloin's pocket presence.
Yes, right. That's a good one, sure.
So you can do that, and you and I have witnessed that before, that you can do that. Very quickly, when you've talked to people, especially within the Giant organization, and they talk about Jalen Hurts, what do they tell you?
Well, I think overall there is just great admiration for what this young man has done. You know, he had to go to Oklahoma, right? He had to leave Alabama because of Tua. He did that. He got there, and Steve, I remember in real time at the Combine, so however many, couple of years ago, I talked to one of his Oklahoma teammates. It was a big nose tackle whose name, unfortunately, I forget at the moment, but it doesn't matter that much. But and I asked about Jalen Hurts, and he said, this is the Oklahoma kid who Hurts joined the team, of course. And I said, what is it about him? And he said, the one thing about Jalen that impressed me the most is he made the move to us, to Oklahoma, and never complained, never badmouthed Alabama, never did anything, but wanted to play his hardest, his best, and wanted to lead this team. And when you resonate like that in a locker room, and you have the skill and the abilities that a guy like Jalen Hurts has, you're pretty tough to beat, because guys respect you and they want you to succeed. And I know that sounds simplistic. Well, everyone wants their teammates to succeed. Yeah, but there are degrees of that, Steve, and you and I know that. So I think with Jalen Hurts, I think it's been – this is not a short answer, for which I apologize, but I think what Jalen Hurts has done has been pretty remarkable. And listen, I picked the Eagles. They made us make a pick. I picked the Eagles. I hope I'm right. I'd love to see, you know, Jalen Hurts win a championship when so many people told him he couldn't do it.
Well, you know what? He's a coach's son. It shows.
You're right. Good point. Right? Yep.
Yeah, he's a coach's son. It shows. And number two, you and I both know the old saying, the humility to prepare, the confidence to pull it off. Well, preparation happens when nobody's watching. You can tell in the off season he put in so much work, he made himself a more accurate thrower.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And two off seasons ago, Steve, he visited every offensive teammate, either in Philly or in Florida or in Texas, depending where people were. And he wanted to get to know them. And you can't tell me that didn't matter, because I believe, you know, I firmly believe that stuff matters.
Oh, I think that stuff matters, especially in the spot you're in as a quarterback. Because you were automatically thrust into the leadership spot. And guess what? He's been in that spot his whole life.
Yep.
And people gravitate toward him at every level, whether it was Alabama, Oklahoma, Philadelphia Eagles. That tells you something when every single time you go someplace, people gravitate toward you.
Yep. Agreed. Absolutely agree, Steve.
Kim, it's always a pleasure. Just love just sitting here and just talking football with you anytime.
I know. We could have done it for a few more minutes, but I appreciate the time so much. It's always awesome to talk to you, Steve.
Same here. Thanks, Kim. And they are so lucky to have you. I'll shout that to the hills. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve. Okay, right. Take care now.